Scottie Pippen has lost his mind. Jalen Rose and Jay Williams cover themselves in glory. And the NBA playoffs continues to be plagued with injuries. LaValley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the LaValley Sports Talk podcast brought to you by the Soundline Network. As always, I'm your host, Chris LaValley. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. We're going to kick off the pod, and we got to talk about the Scottie Pippen story that broke the airwaves the other day. And I think it's fair to say that Scottie Pippen has become completely and utterly unhinged. And he's been in the news a lot lately. He announced that he's writing a tell-all book about his career titled Unguarded, which no one's going to want to buy. And he also decided recently that he needed to criticize Kevin Durant in a GQ interview following the Nets Game 7 loss to the Bucks. In that interview, he said, and I quote, he, meaning Kevin Durant, needs to learn how to utilize his teams. He has to learn how to set up his teammates to be better. That's it. As great as he is, there's a cap to his talent. He could have easily made that three killed them in regulation, and he wouldn't have been talking about this. But I knew going into overtime he wasn't going to make it. He was taking all the shots. You done played the whole game, bro. And they've got guys physically wearing you down. You're going to lose, end quote. He also compared Durant unfavorably to LeBron, saying, and I quote, KD can score better than LeBron, probably always has been able to. But has he surpassed LeBron? Nah. He tried to beat the Milwaukee Bucks instead of utilizing his teams. You see what I'm saying? LeBron James would have figured out how to beat them, and he would have been exhausted, and he may not have taken the last shot. But LeBron ain't KD, and KD ain't LeBron. KD is a shooter, a scorer, but he doesn't have what LeBron has, end quote. So look, what he's saying, his criticism of Durant, and even his analysis regarding LeBron, you know, might be accurate. But the problem that Scotty has is that he's been trying to pump up LeBron James for years, and he's been doing it incorrectly, and he's sounded ignorant in the past, because the whole reason why he's been pumping up LeBron for all these years is because of his issues with Michael Jordan. And so it's very hard to take anything that Scottie Pippen says when it comes to LeBron James very seriously, because he has all this animosity, this built-up animosity against Jordan. For a number of reasons. I mean, and you could see it if you watched the Last Dance documentary that ESPN did last year. You could kind of see it in the interviews with Scotty that, you know, there is definitely this built-up jealousy factor between him and Jordan. And you could even tell that, you know, Jordan doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of love for Scotty either. And obviously we know how Jordan loves to hold on to grudges. So there's that. Now, anyway, moving on here. So the other day, Scotty was on with Dan Patrick, and his latest move was to call coaching legend Phil Jackson racist in that interview. So I'm going to play the audio from the Dan Patrick Twitter page, because me reading the quotes won't do this justice. So I'm going to play the audio, or at least part of the audio, and then we'll discuss. So here we go.
Help me understand the GQ article where you talked about the 1994 playoff game when you refused to go back in the game and Phil set up the play for Tony Kukoc.
Well, I mean, it's not much to be said. If you go back and look at when Scottie Pippen entered the Bulls and when Tony Kukoc entered the Bulls, and who deserved the last shot of the game.
No, I understand that, Scottie. I'm just going by what you said. You said you need to read between the fine lines, and then you go on to say it was a racial move to give him, Tony Kukoc, a rise.
So, I mean, if you knew that Scottie Pippen had been with the Bulls from 87, battled through the Pistons and every other team that we had to get to those three championships, wouldn't you give Scottie Pippen one opportunity to get a last second shot without Michael Jordan? Like, 1 year without Michael Jordan, can I get one shot? Like, I'm doing all the dirty work.
But all of that I understand from the basketball standpoint. But when you say a racial move,
well, why would Tony, who was a rookie, get the last second shot and you put me out of bounds? That's what I mean, racial. Like, that was Scottie Pippen's team.
But Scottie Phil
Pippen
then
was but on pace to be an MVP that year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why would you put him in a position not to be successful? Why wouldn't you put him in a position to succeed? Michael Jordan is not there. So who's next in line for you?
But have you talked to Phil about this? Because by saying a racial move, then you're you're calling Phil a racist.
I don't got a problem with that.
Do you think Phil was or is?
Yeah. I mean, do you remember Phil Jackson left the Lakers, went wrote a book on Kobe Bryant, and then came back and coached him? I mean, who would do that? You name someone in professional sports that would do that. You know? I think he tried to expose Kobe in a way that he shouldn't have. You're the head coach, and you're the guy that sits in the locker room and tells the players, this is a circle, and everything stays within the circle because that's what team is about. But you as the head coach open it up, and now you go out and you try to belittle, at that time, probably one of the greatest players in the game.
Well, it feels like he's disloyal. I don't know if that makes him a racist.
Well, that's your way of putting it out, and I have my way. I was in the locker room with him. I was in practices with him. You're looking for him afar.
Yeah, and look, that's why I wanted to have you on. But I go back, and Phil designed a play for Steve Kerr when Mike was there. And Mike didn't have a problem with that, did he?
I don't understand. You're not setting me up to answer the right question. What do you mean Phil set up a play for Steve Kerr? He didn't set that play up for Steve Kerr. He set that play up for Michael Jordan.
I thought in the huddle, Mike says, I'm going to throw you the ball. You'll be open at the foul line. And Phil had nothing to do with that?
Man, you don't want to get this show started because it'll take us a long time. Do you know all those cameras that's sitting in that huddle who they was working for?
The NBA.
So you know who Michael was speaking to when he said that, right? That was planned. That was speaking to the camera. That wasn't speaking out of what we're going to have to do, what the play is going to be. That was speaking to the camera. Had John Stockton not came down, trust me. But that was building his own documentary because he knew he was controlling the cameras. You understand English?
Yeah.
Okay. So all those...
All right, so there you go. Sorry, that was a bit long. That was, close to 4 minutes there. But I think it's important, though. I think it was important. A, I wasn't going to do the audio justice. If I just read the transcript from that, I don't think you would have gotten how deranged Scotty sounds in that interview. I mean, he sounds like a complete and utter buffoon. So let's break this down real quick. He's calling Phil a racist because Phil Jackson made the right coaching move. Tony Kukoc made that shot, by the way. That Scotty is talking about, and I'm missing how Phil Jackson is a racist because he chose to go with who he thought put his team in the best position to win that ball game. And guess what? Phil was right. He made the right coaching call. Same thing in 97 or 96, whenever it was, when he's talking about Kerr's shot. And when Scotty, and again, like I said, Scotty keeps trying to take shots at Michael Jordan about how Michael Jordan was controlling the cameras. That documentary that he's talking about, Jordan didn't set up that documentary until 1998. That shot happened years prior or a year prior. I can't remember what year it was that Kerr made that shot. I think it was 97. But the point is, Scotty's completely wrong about that. He's lying, or he just doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Because again, Jordan... The whole idea of the documentary, it was called The Last Dance. So The Last Dance was in 98. That's when Jordan was completely aware of the cameras and aware of the documentary crew. There was no documentary crew, or at least it wasn't set up that way years prior. So when Jordan's saying, oh, well, Michael's just playing it up for the cameras. Not that year he wasn't. Maybe you could make the argument he was doing that in 98 all throughout his final stretch run in the NBA, or at least with the Bulls anyway. So again, like I can't get over how Pippen just like flat out because you didn't get what you wanted as a player, you're now turning into, or you've now decided that Phil Jackson's a racist, and because Phil called out Kobe Bryant in his book, that also makes Phil a racist, even though Phil turned around after that book, the year after that book was published, turned around and coached the Lakers for however many more years that was, won two more championships with Kobe. And Kobe completely forgave him for that book, and they mended whatever fences they needed to mend. It just blows my mind that we're now in an age where we're now seeing an athlete who is, I think, considered what, a top 50 basketball player of all time. I think that's a fair thing to say about Scottie. Maybe not. Maybe he's top 75, but I think he's in the top 50 category. So you now have a top 50 player of all time who's part of 6 championships, all with the Chicago Bulls, all with Phil Jackson, all with Michael Jordan, is now calling the head coach that he had for all 6 years. Now all of a sudden, or all 6 championships, excuse me, is now a racist. It's just mind-boggling to me that you can somehow get to that conclusion. And the thing about it is, Scottie has absolutely no evidence. There is no evidence whatsoever that Phil Jackson is a racist. None, except for the fact that he made coaching decisions that Scottie didn't like. And I think what's really disgusting about this is I'm willing to bet that the whole reason why Scottie is coming out and making these claims, making waves with Kevin Durant, and then doing this and this whole accusation thing with Phil Jackson is all to push his book. And that's why Dan Patrick had him on his program, was because Scottie's doing a media tour about his new book that's coming out. And it's really galling to me that we've now reached a point where people feel comfortable enough to accuse somebody of being racist just based off of decisions that they don't like. Not based off any facts, not based off any reasoning, just based off of, well, I don't like what they said here, or I don't like what they've done here, so that must automatically, it's okay for me to slander this person and accuse them of being racist just because. And I think that's scary, and that's an issue. So, you know, I would highly recommend, though, that if you have a moment, check out the interview on the Dan Patrick Twitter feed. You can see it there. I'm sure it's up on YouTube. I'm sure it's everywhere at this point. But you should definitely check out the entire interview. Again, I don't know what the hell's going on with Scottie Pippen, but dude is definitely off his rocker. So Tom Brady made his debut on HBO's The Shop, which is the LeBron James produced, and sometimes he stars in it, this like interview thing where a group of athletes, celebrities, and such, they sit down in a barbershop and they just kind of chop it up a little bit, talk sports, talk, I don't know, whatever the hell they want. And anyway, Brady was on there, and he was discussing his time last year on his free agency tour, where many thought that he might end up with teams like the Titans or the Broncos or the 49ers or maybe even the Miami Dolphins. And so he was talking about the different interviews he had, and he went into completely, like, and this is different for Brady, because usually Brady is always the guy who says the politically correct thing. He's always saying the right thing. He doesn't really say much of anything whatsoever in interviews. Well, he kind of just opened up, and I think he's finally hit a point now where he just doesn't give a shit anymore, which is kind of cool. Like I've said before, I kind of like it when athletes just decide, you know what, I'm just going to rip the mask off here and just tell you exactly what I'm thinking. And so he said, and I quote, "I'm sitting there thinking, you're sticking with that, motherfucker? Are you serious? When I look back, I'm like, there's no fucking way I would have went to that team. But they said that they didn't want me. I know what that means. I know what that feels like. And I'm going to go fuck you up because of that." End quote. Now, since those comments, you know, you've got a lot of media and a lot of fans are trying to figure out which team Brady was talking about, because Brady didn't actually disclose who he was talking about. So there's the teams that people are debating about, or there's, I think, 4 teams that seems to be the popular options. You've got the Miami Dolphins, who decided they were going to stick with quarterback Tua. I don't really know if that were the case. I think if Miami had the opportunity to get Tom Brady, they would have taken Tom Brady. The other option is the Jets, and I don't think the Jets would be that stupid to stick with Sam Darnold over Tom Brady. The other two, though, I think make the most sense, and that's Denver and the Raiders. Now, Denver is a team that's needed a quarterback for a very, very long time, and the Raiders would have gladly replaced Derek Carr with Tom Brady. So I really honestly think it's not either those teams. I think it's the 49ers. I really do. I think sitting back there, I'm thinking Kyle Shanahan said no. I don't want you. Because that's the only team that Brady was in the market for that would make sense in this whole scenario. Because let's be real. If John Gruden could get Tom Brady, John Gruden would walk over glass to be able to have Tom Brady on his team. Gruden has made it very clear that he is not a Derek Carr lover. He's not. So that doesn't even make sense. So when people are like, oh, well, maybe he's talking about the Raiders. Gruden was considering drafting a quarterback in over the past couple seasons. There's always been the rumor that Gruden's going to take a quarterback in the draft to replace Carr. I mean, he went out and he picked up Marcus Mariota last year as the backup and then praised Mariota all offseason. So there's no love loss between Gruden and Carr. So that one's out. John Elway would have taken Tom Brady if he had the opportunity to. He did it for Peyton. He completely rejuvenated Peyton's career. Not that he needs to rejuvenate Brady's career, but you're going to tell me that Elway is going to say no to Brady? That just doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any sense. As much as I'm not a John Elway fan, there's no way in hell John Elway would have Tom Brady knocking on his door and Elway's going to sneer and go, no, we're good with Drew Locke. Get out of here. So that's not an option. The Jets with Sam Darnold, I guess you could make the argument that the Jets could have sat there and said, you know what? We're going to keep riding with this dude because he's our dude. I guess you could have made that argument, but then you turn around and they let him go to Carolina. So I don't think it's the Jets. And look, Miami is not that stupid. I know Miami has not exactly run their organization the best over the last few seasons, but I have a really, really hard time believing that Miami would have said no to Brady just because they drafted a young quarterback in Tua. So that leaves the 49ers. And I can see Kyle Shanahan sitting there and going, nah, I'm good, man, because I don't know how long I'm going to have you. I don't know how long I'm going to have you as a quarterback. You're in your 40s. I have Jimmy. Jimmy's taken me to a Super Bowl. I still believe. Now, again, this was pre-Jimmy getting injured last season. So I still believe in Jimmy. I think he can take us back to the Super Bowl. And he's younger than you. And I'm Kyle Shanahan. I can build my team around you. I don't need you. That is honestly, to me, and again, y'all can disagree at LaValleyCH on Twitter. You can tell me where I'm wrong. But I do think that the 49ers is the team he's talking about. Because when he makes the comment that, you know, I'm gonna take this personally and when I get the opportunity, I'm gonna fuck you guys up. He went to the NFC. He's not necessarily going to be able to see the Dolphins all the time, or see the Jets, or see the Raiders, or see the Broncos. I guess the other team out there too is the Titans. And I didn't think about that as I'm going through my Rolodex here. But you really think Mike Vrabel, who played with Tom Brady, is going to diss him like that? Maybe he could. I mean, maybe Vrabel's arrogant enough to tell Brady to go pound sand because he's got Ryan Tannehill, but I don't know. That's just weird. That would be really weird to me that an ex-teammate would sneer at Brady, especially when they won 3 Super Bowls together. Maybe. So maybe you could put the Titans in there too. I'll do that for you. Not just Shanahan. I guess you could also put the Titans in Vrabel. But again, he went to the NFC. Now, he could have also just gone to Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay gave him the best option to win, and clearly when he won a Super Bowl this past season, that is true. But he's not really going to see any of those other AFC teams except for once every three years because of the whole interconference, the way the whole interconference schedule works. Whereas he can see the 49ers every single year. They could match it up that way. So, and the other thing too, while I love the fact that Brady is kind of letting loose, letting his feelings out a little bit, I really do wish, though, he would have released what team it was. Because imagine knowing this is the team that Tom Brady is going to try and dominate every time he steps on the field with them for the rest of his career. He's going to look to embarrass this team. That's ratings gold for the NFL. I mean, that's ratings gold for everybody. Who doesn't want to sit back and watch super pissed off Tom Brady try and embarrass that team? That's like sitting back and knowing back in the day that Michael Jordan, you knew Jordan's going after this specific player or this specific team because they dissed him in some way. And people, you wanted to watch that. You wanted to watch Jordan just absolutely demolish his competition because they pissed him off in some way. Now, again, Jordan used to make up stuff or create his own issues with people just to try and motivate himself. But no, when you knew Jordan was attacking somebody, that was the best thing to watch. And to be able to know that Tom Brady is trying to embarrass a specific team, how could you not love that? So while I do enjoy the fact that Brady's being a little bit more open, I wish he was just a little more open than that and actually let us know who it was that that he was spurned by. But look, again, please let me know who you guys think it is. I mean, if you don't think it's the 49ers or you don't think it's the Titans, maybe you think it's the Raiders. Maybe you think it's the Jets or the Dolphins. Let me know. @LaValleyCH on Twitter. This will be a really interesting topic moving forward to try and figure out who it was that decided to tell Tom Brady to go pound sand. So last week, both Jalen Rose and Jay Williams made headlines. They're both ESPN analysts, basketball analysts, decided to make headlines for different reasons. Both of them decided to spew their ignorance all over social media, and ESPN didn't punish either of them for being really stupid. The Jay Williams one really wasn't worth punishing him for because he just said something that wasn't factually correct. And then, you know, just like everybody else who gets in trouble for tweeting something stupid or doesn't get in trouble, gets called out for tweeting something stupid, you know, he was hacked, supposedly, which we all know is bullshit. Jalen Rose, though, should have been suspended from ESPN for his comments because they were racist. But we're going to touch on Jalen Rose. I want to touch on Jay Williams first. So when the Celtics announced that they had hired their new basketball coach, and I'm going to try and say his name properly, I believe it's Ime Udoka. Jay Williams put out a tweet celebrating the fact that, or praising the Celtics, I should say, for their first black coach. Here's the problem. This is their sixth black coach in franchise history. So Jay Williams puts out a tweet trying to, for whatever reason, I don't even know what point he was trying to make, actually. But he was celebrating the fact that the Celtics have finally hired a black coach. Well, you know, he might have forgotten the fact that Doc Rivers was just there not even a decade ago as their head coach. Doc Rivers also won an NBA championship as the head coach of the Boston Celtics just over a decade ago. So Jay Williams immediately deleted the tweet, I think within like an hour of it being up, because people were crushing him. Deleted the tweet, and I don't know, maybe an hour or two later comes out and says, oh, my Twitter account was hacked. Yeah, bullshit. Bullshit. Because when you look at the timetable of when his original tweet went up to when Adrian Wojnarowski had announced that that the Celtics had hired Udoka, they were within like 5 minutes of each other. So you want us to believe that within a 5 minute span of the announcement of the Celtics' new head coach, somebody just happened to tweet that out for you? Yeah, okay. Well, we know that's bullshit. So then that brings us to Jalen Rose. And before I get into Jalen Rose's comments, I would just like to say that I cannot stand Jalen Rose, even before these comments. Like, there's very few basketball analysts that I even really enjoy. Jalen Rose is on the bottom. This isn't the first time Rose has spouted ignorant thoughts and just has said really, really, really dumb things. But this one definitely takes the cake. So the announcement came out that Kevin Love was on the basketball team, on USA Basketball. Now, again, I don't necessarily think Kevin Love should have been on the team. I think there are other players out there who could have been on there. But anyway, on his show, Jalen and Jacoby, he called Kevin Love's addition to the team, or he was the token white player. And he was insinuating there was a racist intent behind Love's decision, or behind Love's inclusion on the team, which in itself was a racist comment to make. Now, part of the problem, so actually before, I'm not even going to give you my analysis of this. So Doug Gottlieb, I actually thought, and I'm not exactly the biggest fan of Doug Gottlieb either, but I thought he actually made a really good point. He's on Fox Sports, and he said this, quote, "I believe what he says in regards to Jalen Rose. I believe what he says to be his honest perspective. However, I think it's comical that any comments made in jest or reality against anyone who's black is considered racist. If you're white, you just got to deal with it. Imagine saying that only in the opposite. Can you imagine how someone might be roasted over the coals for that? You would be fired by the end of the segment," end quote. And he's absolutely right. If a if any analyst, it doesn't even have to, it doesn't, honestly, I don't even believe that the analyst, if the analyst was white or if the analyst was black, if you went the other way and it was, let's say we're talking about like the men's hockey team, the U.S. men's hockey team, and there was one black player that made that roster, and you made, and you called them the token black player on an all white hockey team, you think that person has a job today? No. They wouldn't, and like Gottlieb said, they wouldn't have even made it out of the damn segment. If it was live on television, they probably would have cut to black or went right to commercial just to prove a point. So the fact that Jalen Rose made the comment, yeah, he came back out after the fact and supposedly apologized, even though he really didn't apologize. He did like this hour rant on his Instagram feed about how he apologized, but he really didn't apologize. He almost doubled down on his comments. And ESPN is yet to suspend him for his comments, or even if they didn't have to suspend him so much, because I don't really believe in the whole suspension thing. I think that's a little bit of an overreach, even though ESPN has suspended commentators for a lot less. Even just a statement for ESPN to come out and say, hey, look, you know, we do not agree with Jalen Rose's opinion regarding Kevin Love's addition to USA Basketball. Just something to denounce what Jalen Rose had said. ESPN kept quiet. They didn't say anything. And that just kind of shows you where ESPN is gone, where they're completely fine if their analysts want to race bait and make racial comments that are completely inappropriate and not even accurate. Like, that's the biggest thing about it, is Jalen Rose's comments aren't even accurate. In 2016, USA Basketball, there was not a single white player on that roster. So to make it sound as if USA Basketball has to have a quote-unquote token white guy isn't even accurate. So his comments didn't even make sense. And this just, again, it goes to show you how so many people out there, regardless of honestly, it's not just ESPN. I mean, Fox Sports has issues too, but where it's completely okay for these commentators to make racial stereotypical comments as long as it flows in a specific direction, a specific political direction, it's okay. Again, I don't agree with Kevin Love being on the basketball team. The guy hasn't played well in years. Why he's on the team, I still don't know. I would have taken another player, my opinion. But again, that's not what Jalen Rose said, and that's not what Jalen Rose was trying to point out. He wanted to try and turn this into a racial conversation where there was no reason for it to go there whatsoever. And we need to get away from that in sports. We need to pull away from this everything has to do about race or gender or finding a victimhood mentality in everything. Can we just go back to talking about sports and debating sports? You easily could have ran a segment and flipped out about Kevin Love being on the team and said, what the hell are they thinking? You're telling me that there's not another player that you couldn't find to replace Kevin Love? And just gone down that hole, just based off of stats alone. But this fucking need to always go in this racial direction is ridiculous and it's obnoxious. And that's why so many people aren't watching these shows anymore or listening to these certain types of podcasts either. There's a reason why people are tuning to Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo and Rajah Bell. Mostly I'm kind of bringing up the Ringer here, but a lot of people listen to the Ringer podcast, especially when it comes to basketball, because of the fact that that's not what they're doing there. They're when they're making an argument against somebody being on a basketball team or against somebody maybe making an all-star team, race has nothing to do with it. They're literally just looking at stats. They're making a sports level argument. And there's a lot of other podcasts out there, too, that do it. I'm just bringing up The Ringer because I think if we're talking basketball, The Ringer is the best podcast network to go to specifically on basketball. But anyway, we need to just stop with this race baiting nonsense and just go back to debating sports. The whole point of these types of podcasts, of my podcast, is to talk sports, to talk statistics. That should be the basis of your argument if you don't believe a player should be on a team. Doesn't matter about their skin color. It doesn't matter about their ethnicity, their background, whatever it may be. It just matters about how good they are. I want the best players on Team USA. I want to dominate on the world stage. Kevin Love to me, shouldn't be on that team because I don't think he can do anything. I don't think he's really going to be able to do anything to help us win a gold medal in Tokyo. That's my opinion. And I can base that off of the fact that he's been injured over the last three seasons and really hasn't produced. So again, I can base that argument just purely off of stats. I don't need to make the comment that, oh, well, Team USA needed to have a white player on there, so they went with Kevin Love. So anyway, well, you know, Jalen and Jay Williams have just continued to point out the hypocrisy and double standard that that is ESPN and why nobody watches that network anymore. Injuries, man. Injuries are plaguing this NBA postseason. Giannis Antetokounmpo went down in Game 4 in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Atlanta Hawks. And it's looking like he may be out for the remainder of the series, if not the rest of the season. And I'm recording this on Wednesday morning. This will come out Friday morning. I'm assuming that there will be more news and notes at that point in time about what's going on with Giannis' injury. But if he is out for a prolonged period of time, that's just another body added to just the list of injuries that we've seen this postseason. I mean, it's crazy how injuries have just completely plagued this NBA postseason and have changed the fortunes of a lot of teams. You know, the Atlanta Hawks would not be where they are right now if it wasn't for injuries. The same thing can be said about the Milwaukee Bucks. Same thing can be said about the Phoenix Suns. I mean, who knows? If both LeBron and AD are fully healthy, would the Suns have come out in the first round? Maybe, maybe not. You know, the only team that has kind of overcome their injury issues to still be where they are right now are the Clippers. I mean, they lost Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George is playing out of his mind, but I would honestly argue that Kawhi Leonard's injury is the best thing that ever happened to Paul George. Paul George has now proven that he can lead a team. Maybe not lead a team to a championship, because I don't know if they're going to actually pull off this. I mean, they're down 3-2 right now, so I don't know if they'll really pull this off and make it to the finals. But he's definitely cured that stigma that has been following him around for a long time as not being the guy in the moment to be able to help carry his team. But look, the 76ers, you had Joel Embiid, who was injured. Chris Paul, throughout these playoffs, has had COVID plus his shoulder injury. Again, obviously LeBron wasn't fully healthy. Lakers lost AD. You have both James Harden and Kyrie Irving, both injured for the Nets. You know, we've just seen these players, these stars and superstars go down throughout this postseason. And it's been crazy. With that being said, though, I would tell everybody, pump the brakes, though, on this whole asterisk thing, because I hear it all the time. I've heard it on Bill Simmons' podcast. I've heard it on Russillo's podcast. I've heard it talked about on various sports media, like the shows, First Take, whatever, Undisputed, all this stuff. Like, people are very quick to be like, oh, well, you know, we're just going to have an asterisk over this season. Well, if you're going to have an asterisk over this season, you need to have an asterisk over last season, too, in the bubble, because last year's bubble was an anomaly as well. And you can just look at the fact, take a team like the Miami Heat, who pretty much had the same team last year, the same roster last year as they do this year. They made it to the NBA Finals last year. They got blown out in the first round this year. Not a whole hell of a lot changed. You know, and to do that type of giant swing like that, to go from the finals to get absolutely annihilated in the first round, you know, that makes me wonder. You know, what the bubble was obviously a little weird. But nobody wants to put the asterisks on there. And why is that? Oh, that's right, because LeBron won the championship, and we can't put an asterisk next to LeBron. And, of course, LeBron was quick to point out to everybody in the known universe that this was the most difficult championship of all time, and therefore that should catapult him as the greatest player ever, because LeBron's an adult. But anyway, I know, another NBA segment, LaValle's ripping LeBron. Yeah, I know. I take cheap shots. It is what it is. But I would just caution everybody about putting an asterisk here, because this is what I'm thinking. If Chris Paul wins this champion, or the Phoenix Suns win the NBA championship, Chris Paul finally gets his NBA championship, you really going to put an asterisk around that? Like, this dude has been grinding and grinding and grinding for years for this opportunity. Are people really going to do that to this dude? I mean, look, I'm not the biggest Chris Paul fan out there. I kind of think he's a dirty player. I think he's kind of a punk. I've always felt that way. But I respect him. I think he's one of the greatest point guards of all time. And it would really, really suck. It would also kind of just be kind of apropos to Chris Paul's career in general for there to be an asterisk with that championship that he's inevitably probably going to win here. Because I think Phoenix is arguably the best team remaining, especially with the Bucks losing Giannis. So I would just caution everybody, before you put an asterisk on this season, I think you need to look back on last season as well and kind of look at the way the whole thing unfolded, specifically in the bubble with the postseason, how all those teams played, and say, look, last year was a bit of an anomaly just with everything, with COVID and everything that happened last year. So again, if you're going to put an asterisk with this season because of injuries, you may have to consider it the same with last year as well. With that being said, real quick shout out though to Paul George. All right. I talked about all the injuries. I didn't mention Kawhi Leonard. Shout out to Paul George. I've crucified Paul George a lot of times. I did it a few podcasts back when they were down to the Mavericks, and I said, I'm done with the Paul George thing. Just for the love of God, don't ever mention playoff P again. I can't stand it. Paul George is just a complete choke artist when it matters most. He has completely rejuvenated his career. He's changed the whole perspective about him when it comes to being a leader and a type A player, or a Batman, shall we say, on a team. He has completely carried this team to coming back from the brink against the Jazz. And I know that they're on the brink right now against Phoenix, but he played one hell of a game five in Phoenix to keep that series alive. Paul George, to his credit, has proven all of his doubters wrong. And while you don't root for an injury, that Kawhi Leonard injury is the greatest thing to ever happen to Paul George's career. Regardless of if the Clippers make the finals, it doesn't matter at this point, at least for me anyway. Paul George has proven that he can play in the playoffs, and he can put on a show in the postseason, and he can carry a team. And that's what, and I think confidence-wise for him, this is the greatest thing to ever happen for him. If the Clippers are able to somehow stun the world and come back and beat the Phoenix Suns, and then, look, let's be real. If the Clippers make it to the finals, they're going to beat the Hawks. Because I'm taking the Hawks to make the finals, which I still can't believe I'm saying this, in the Eastern Conference. The Hawks are very likely going to make the... I can't believe I'm saying this. They're going to be in the finals. I think whoever comes out of the West is going to win the NBA championship. But if the Clippers are able to do it, talk about a complete and utter just revolutionary change in the legacy of Paul George. I mean, the whole conversation about Paul George completely changes here. If the Clippers are able to win a championship. Like I said, it's already changed in general because of what Paul George is able to have done so far in this postseason. But if he's able to pull off a championship without Kawhi Leonard, he is the superstar on the team that is carrying them, his legacy is completely different. And again, I'm not the biggest Paul George fan out there. I've said it before. But I you're going to have to give him credit regardless of if you like him or not. If he's able to pull this one out and win an NBA championship, he'll get an NBA MVP, a finals MVP in the process. It's a complete different conversation about his legacy. But we'll see what happens moving forward. Let's see if there's, you never know, there could be another major injury before now in the NBA finals. But we'll see what happens. But again, I do caution everybody who's quick to throw an asterisk, on this season. If you're going to do it for this season, I really do think you got to consider putting it on for last season as well. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever it may be. Also, while you're there, we got plenty of other podcasts for you from the network, including Drinks with Dan, Richo's Rant, Richo and Lala, and Spaceball. That is it. That's all I have for you this week. Be well. Stay safe. Talk to y'all again soon.